Bonjour Charlotte.
Bonjour Camille.
Bonjour.
I would like to have a hamburger.
Hamburger?
Hamburger? So why don't we just do the whole episode like this? We're just gonna come up with different concepts and talk about them because we still haven't figured out an episode. Exactly. So, let's start with growing up here in Taguzu.
Like Morocco?
Morocco. Well, you just told me before that you didn't really grow up here. You grew up in Casablanca. So, like I said before, off to a good start. First fact already wrong, but now, you know, because we had to stop the camera, we're just going to do this again and say, hey, how was it growing up in Casablanca?
Well, good. No, it was good. Big city. 6 million people living there. We have the beach, so we have a few spots where you can surf. Not crowded at all. And it was not like a big, I don't know, it was not like a...
Is there a big surf scene?
No. It was not like a big surf community.
I'm just going to flick the shoes there.
You know, we're just talking.
Exactly. Just casually.
Just
casually talking. No, a little bit of backstory. Like Charlotte and I, we go way back. 10, 15 years now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We used to study together.
Australia.
Two little babies. And there's a third one, but she's too shy to be on camera. She's downstairs.
Downstairs.
Surreal. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so I made the trip to Morocco, to Taguzu, and to stay with you because we're going to talk about your new business venture in a second. But first, we roll back the curtain and we go back to Casablanca. How was it?
It was good. It was good. I mean, it was big city life, but easy life. Like, you know, after school, going, my parents used to bring me to surf, like on Wednesday afternoon, Saturday, Sunday. I started when I was 10. I was the only girl, though.
That's also a topic we're going to talk about. Like, I think that's a very interesting topic, actually, because now these days there's a lot more girls
there's
in the water,
more
right?
Girls, yeah.
So I want to get through this. We're going to unravel the progression of surfing or, you know,
so
women
you're
surfing.
Back in like 2003.
Exactly.
I was the only. Yeah, we were maybe two girls, three girls. I mean, Sarah was part of it, and just boys around.
Your parents are French,
yeah,
right? So how come you grew up here?
Because it was a kind of French colony. So my grandfather on my dad's side was already in Morocco,
right?
So and my mom came on holidays because her brother was working here.
Okay.
And you know, long story short,
fell in love,
stayed in Morocco.
Stayed in Morocco for love, which you should never do. Stay for love. Seriously. I speak from experience.
Well, be wait for them, so you know.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. So three generations.
Yeah.
In Morocco. And then when did you make the move down here to, like, obviously, like, this is the main surf area,
yeah,
right? Taguzu, Tamra.
Because as a kid, we used to come with my parents often on holidays, and all the surf comp were here.
You used to compete?
A little bit, yeah.
Shoreboarding.
Ah. Yeah.
You wouldn't think that because now you're
now
like
on the
longboarder.
Yeah. Easier, you know, you're getting absolutely older, easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
No need to paddle a lot.
Exactly.
So after coming back from Australia.
Okay.
Casablanca was too big for me,
yep,
too hectic. And I knew I wanted to surf, I wanted to work in the surf industry. And the only place in Morocco where that was happening was Tarazout. So that's yep, how I just sent a resume to all the hotels and surf camps. And that's how.
Where did you end up?
First Paradis Plage, so yep, a 4-star hotel after Tarazout. Not on as a surf coach, as a guest relation manager was.
Right.
You know?
So you wanted to, so you left Australia to work in the surf industry, and then you ended up, working in a surf area, but not exactly. You have to work your way up, right?
Exactly. Well, it's called, you know, Party Plage, surf, yoga, and spa, hotel, resort. So
okay,
it was a bit of surf.
A little bit. In the name.
No, come on.
Okay.
And, for 2 years there, and then I worked for Surf Maroc.
Okay.
One of the biggest surf can and one of the first ones in Tarazout,
yep,
for 4 years as a surf instructor. And I was taking care of the...
Were you the only surf instructor, like the only female surf
instructor?
No, we were
two.
Two female.
Okay.
Cool.
And we were taking care of, they created like a package called Girls Surf Week, and it's only girls that come like for a week, and they have everything included, and they have a female surf instructor. We bring them to the soup, to the like excursions, to Paradise Valley, to like you are with them from like Saturday to Saturday.
Okay.
All day.
Okay.
So for 4 years.
So that was your first real, quote unquote, real job
in Morocco, yeah.
In the surf industry. Yeah. Okay, cool. And then from there?
And then from there, back to Paradis Plage as a, I was managing the whole fitness, surf, and activity of the hotel.
Okay.
That was pretty cool as well. And then, long story short, I met people, French guys, that were keen to do that boat, that place, and were like, oh, we want you as a manager. And they were like, we don't live here. We live in France, but we want you to manage everything. So here we are.
This is the place.
Surf and Friends.
This is exactly Surf and Friends Lodge. We're on the
tiny rooftop.
Yeah,
there's a big one behind us.
It's a pretty sick place. Like, tell me about how did this place come about? Right. Like, I mean, I know you guys did some construction. Yeah. You're still doing construction now.
Yeah.
What's the angle?
Oh, well, we don't like the angle will be like to have many surf and friends, but we don't know where that going. But like we bought that during COVID, during like 2020, like beginning of 2020. Sorry.
Yep.
And there was just a main building, and we were like, okay, we need to do something good. We need to have, there's a lot of concurrent surf camps and stuff, so you need to have a bit of a difference.
Yeah.
So we were like, a pool, like a heated pool will be good, and like a really nice bedrooms with all their bathrooms. So we've done a bit of renovations.
Yeah,
and we added 5 more rooms underneath that terrace, and we have a pool, and it took a year to do all that, but we opened in September, like we properly opened in September 2021.
So during COVID, basically.
Yeah.
And then how was that?
Like, it was good, like for like when we opened, like, you know, with the word of mouth and stuff, it was really good, like people were coming. So we had a good September, we had a good October for just something that just opened. And then November, Morocco decided to close its borders for 4 months.
Yeah.
So no activities for 4 months. That was a bit hard, but we thought about it. We were like, oh, that can happen.
Yeah.
So we were prepared for that. And then 7th of February, they opened back the borders and we really, really reopened in like March. People were coming back in March. Not a lot, but people were like, okay, we need to travel. We need to like, you know, try something else. And Morocco, it's close to Europe and you can still have cheap flights. So everyone wants to escape the European winter.
You said before, right? Like in this area, there's a lot of surf camps. There's a lot of competition and you have to be a little bit different, right? Mm-hmm. So where do you see you guys being different from other places around here?
Well, there's a few, like, I mean, we're a bit more high end. It's not like luxury, but you want to provide I don't know, for me, it's like if you sleep good, if you eat good, and the people that are with you, because you like, we spend like weeks, like few days at least with people, and you know, they come, like everyone says that they come as a guest, and they leave as a family and friends. So I guess what we wanted to do, it's more high hand, like a nice bathroom, nice bedrooms, nights, beds as well.
That's very important. Like, usually that's something you don't really get, nice beds in like surf camps, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or lodges.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and the beds are great, just to let you know.
And someone told me as well, you have hot water. I was like, well, of course we have hot water.
Yeah.
Apparently in some of the surf camps in everywhere around the world.
It doesn't feel like a surf camp. It feels more like a, I don't know, somebody has a huge house and just kind of invites you over, right? It's very homey. It's very cozy.
Yeah,
there's a lot of space where you have like
like on, even if there's a lot of people, like you can get away from them. Yeah. Like it's pretty nice.
Well, that was the main goal, to have something where we can have a, like, you know, at the maximum capacity, we can have 40 people.
Yeah.
So it's quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
But you still have a lot of terrace and spots and place where you can be on your own and not being with the crowd.
And then, like, you do some activities as well, right? You have a yoga terrace
that's
right behind us. A bunch of surf bands that obviously take people surfing. You, I guess, provide lessons as well.
We do, like, we do what we call surf coaching. That'll be, like, surf lessons. You come here, you come for a week or for 10 days or for 2 weeks. You have lessons every day, you like, with a qualified surf coach. And then you have that surf guiding where we bring you to the spots depending on the level you are.
Yep.
And as we have like maybe 30 spots around the lodge and all level, like pretty much point breaks, reef breaks, beach breaks, you can bring anyone, like learners to advanced surfers. So it's pretty cool. And you spend, like, we try to do different spots every day. Even we can do two spots in one day. We try to like change to have at least you can say after 1 week, you can say, I surf a point break, I surf a beach break, I've tried to surf a reef break. Like, I've seen many spots in like thousands, so.
Which is essentially like, it's one big playground. Like you drive 5 minutes to the north or 10 minutes to the south. And it's like, you see spot after spot after spot. So let's go back to growing up in Casablanca, right? And then how old were you when you moved here?
How I was? 2013, so
how good is your math right now?
25, I guess.
25, okay. And how, you know, we know that, right? Surfing has been a very male-dominated sport, right? And then I would assume, like, here even more so, right? So how was it to come in as, like, a girl trying to find her place in the lineup with not many other girls around, right? Especially in, I guess, you know, pretty gnarly waves, like Anchor Point, Killers, or, you know, all these, like, point breaks around that are competitive.
Yeah. The feeling is, like, I never felt like, I don't know how to, like, I always felt that you need to prove yourself, like, you need to show that you can surf, you need to show that you can paddle out at Anchor Point or anyone else, like, you know, you just need to show people that you can do it, And then there's another part of it that where that big surf community is like when you're out there, when, you know, we all know each other for a long time. It's a small village and the surf community is pretty small. Yeah. So even if you're from like the north or south, everyone, like, you've crossed paths at one point. So everyone knows everyone. And so in the water, you're like, they're all like, next one's for you. Some of the time they say, next one's for you, that's the bigger one. So you're like, fuck.
And then you have to go, right?
Then you have to go.
Because they already told you the next one.
And you're like, why? But you go and you're like, nice one. Cool. So that's pretty much how you always have to prove yourself. But it's I think surfing in general, it's a bit aggro, you know? There's that thing that we sell, we're all like surf spirit and blah, blah, blah. But sometimes in the water, you have to, you know. Yeah. To be sure that you hear that you always have to be on the inside, and it was like, just, I'm here, guys. I know how to surf. Just like let me my waves.
Was that always like that? Like, did you always feel like that you have to like have a chip on your shoulder and you have to prove yourself like in the water, you know? And do you think, two questions?
Yeah.
Number one was that. Number two is like, and do you think it got better? Because obviously, like, now in the water, there is more girls. Lineups are more accepting, right? Yeah.
Well, growing up, I grew up with a group of boys.
Right.
So, and they all, like, some of them are all in the world tour, in a big wave world tour. So, you know, we were always pushing each other and, like, are you now going? Are you a chicken? Blah, blah, blah. And so you have to, you know, you're like, oh, my God, I have to follow them. I have to.
Right.
And I was like, no, I don't want to, but you have to. So, yeah, I always had that feeling that you have to prove, but it was not in a wrong way. It was just like to push each other, like, well, let's go, we have to try, we have to go, you know, they always say go big or go home, right? So
right.
So that's yeah, that, like, I felt like I just always had to prove, like, I need to. But nowadays, I've, like, you know, there's more girls at the lineup.
There is, but at the same time, there's not many, or at least, like, in my experience, right around here, there isn't many Moroccan girls surfing.
There's not many. But if you, you know, just done that comp, like that comp in the north of Casablanca, it was a longboard competition.
Yeah.
And it was 32 men's and 18 girls. Okay. So you think like, now it changed. Because when I used to compete, there were maybe seven of us.
You were probably competing with the boys, right? Because there's no division.
Yeah, the maximum was maybe seven. So yeah, you're right. Like, okay, now we're 18. Now we're talking. And they were young. Younger ones that actually could actually really like good surface. So
yeah.
I feel like it's getting better. It's still not like it's not equal.
Yeah.
And you know, women in Morocco, it's not like they're even men's. It's not like everyone swims and surf. It's not really our culture.
Yeah.
But it's getting better.
Like you also see like in the lineup, right? It's very friendly. Like today we paddled out at the Point Break down the road and you had a couple of girls in the water and, you know, it's very friendly. Yeah. The guy, you guys all know each other, right? And everybody's joking. But I would assume that wasn't always the case.
No.
Right?
No, because when you arrive here, like people, like because I've done contests, so like I knew people, but it's not like I knew everyone and you had to prove that like you were respectful to culture, because even though I was born and raised in Morocco,
are you still French?
French, yeah.
Like, do you also feel you're French, or it's just in the perception others, right?
Perception of others. In my mind, I'm like, you know, Moroccan, you know, something. Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm both.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I'm blonde, green eyes. They're like, nah.
Yeah.
You're foreigner.
Are they? You know how it is, right? When you live overseas, like, they always, in a cheeky way, right? They always give you crap, right?
Exactly. But it's in a cheeky way. Now, it's not, it's pretty nice, but they all, like, they can make fun of it. They're like, you know, I'm from here. Like, what? I grew up here. I was born and raised here, buddy. So,
yeah.
But coming up here 9 years ago, there was nothing that all we have behind us.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, like the development of the area, right?
I mean,
you can see, right? There is new roads. There's new, like in some parts, especially down this way, it doesn't look like you're in like a North Africa. And you could be somewhere in California driving through like a gated community, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And talk to me about the, you know, the progression of development in this area.
It went so fast, and like it's been like 5 years. 5 years that is like everywhere. Like it's the whole promenade, like from Tamraf to Tarazout, like 6 kilometers of like hotels, luxury hotels. I guess it's good. It creates jobs, but
and competition.
It's good. You know, we all love competitions,
of course.
But I don't know. It's good because you create jobs and cleans all the. Now everything's clean. Everything, we have proper roads, stuff like that. But
like, how was it before? Like, you guys had.
We had one road.
Right, the main road that.
The main road that used to follow the coast from here to Tarazout, and that's still the one that follows the coast all the way up to Sawira.
Running water in the village.
Yeah, sorry. Not everywhere.
That's it.
Not everywhere. Power, yeah. But not running water, not everywhere. In my house, no.
Right.
Like, yeah.
But this was always a touristy area, right?
Yeah.
Because not just from overseas, also from, like, Moroccans used to like to come here.
Yeah.
Because it's a coastal town.
But, like, Moroccans, it's from, like, Moroccans, but surfers.
Right.
Otherwise, like, Moroccans, nowadays, they're coming because it's a... It's like, it's more since like, you know, COVID, they were, you know, they couldn't go out of their country. They couldn't like travel.
Yeah.
So they travel within the country.
Yeah.
And they discovered places like Tarazout was one of the places. And now it's becoming more and more trendy and more, oh, we go south, we go to Tarazout, there's nice hotels and we can chill by the pool, by the beach. And there's waves and there's yoga centers and then the. It's It's a trendy place now.
It's very trendy. Well, what do you think this place will look like in 10 years? Because the...
I don't know.
The state of development is crazy. It's like, crazy. You look around and there's, you know, there's... I mean, you can hear it right there. There's like something. Somebody is like building something right now, right?
In my mind, it's like there's no more room, but there's always room, right? I guess. I think it'll be like massive.
Yeah.
It'll be like massive...
Do you think it becomes like one melting pot? Because right now, right, you still have this like, I wouldn't call it divide, but you have like Takazu is here, yeah. And then you have Tamrat here, and then you have, what's it called? Aouir, right? Down there. And then you have Agadir, right?
And Anza, exactly.
Do you think like at one stage it will be one big area and it kind of all like just intertwines?
Yeah. The village will still have their names and stuff, but it, like, it'll be like one big area.
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, that's their end goal. That's not my end goal, but that's the government end goal to have, like, to create a, how do you say that? Like a touristy place that works all year round. And and they're building as well. That's what I heard. They're building schools and stuff. So I think they want to create, it's not like a, that works 6 months a year and then it's empty.
Because right now that's the kind of case, right? It's very seasonal.
It's very seasonal because we have a surf season. Surf season is from October till March. That's when we have like waves every day and the weather, I mean, it's pretty warm.
Exactly. It's like 6 o'clock and we're sitting here and your shoes on. Exactly. It's beautiful.
But now like it's becoming like more all year round. Like we just seen like last summer was really busy. And even people that were coming just for like, oh yeah, we coming for a week, but you know, we want to try surfing, we want to try everything. So,
can you surf here all year round? Like, or is it harder to find waves in
summer? You can learn to surf.
Summer, okay.
All year round.
I got you.
But if you're like a advanced or intermediate surfer, I guess summer is not a right time.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me about like, how did you actually get into surfing? We haven't touched on that.
I started surfing. My cousin was she started surfing with her friends, and I was like, oh, I want to do the same. You know, always like looked up. You know, I want to do the same. And we went. So there was one surf camp for kids, the only one called Surfland in Walidia. It's like north from here and south of Casablanca. And our parents used to drop us at the bus station where all the kids were going that same bus, and we go down there, and for 1 week we were sleeping in tents and surfing all day. So that's how I learned to surf, and it just like, you know, sting me, like, I don't know, like you just like
exactly you're hooked and you just never let it go.
Started it, and then I was like, yeah, you know, I want it. Mom and Dad, I want my own surfboard, I want my own wetsuit. That was a bit harder before, like, to get the equipment to Morocco. So we were always, you know, if you had my uncle old surfboard or like you always borrowed surfboards. And then every Wednesday, every Saturday, every Sunday, every holidays, everything was around surfing. Even my parents, that my dad used to bodyboard and my mom used to windsurf, but none of them were surfers, but they used to like being on the beach and like in water. So
right.
It was like every
holiday. It was like a natural progression kind of thing, just to start surfing.
Exactly.
No, I mean, the place is sick, you know? I mean, I think also, like, when you look this way, right? Like, all you see is, like, little ripples and waves. So it's like, there's literally, like, if you live here, by default, like, that's what you end up doing, right? I mean, because it is paradise.
It is paradise.
I mean, what's your favorite wave?
I like Anchor Point when it's not crowded.
And that's usually never.
Thanks to that competition, that WSL comp.
Yeah.
No, Anchor Point, I love Mystery. And now, because I started longboarding, I love Imsuan, the bay.
Yeah. So, what would you tell people that want to come here, right? And what can they expect? Like, especially, you know, you grew up here. And for me, coming here, it's very evident that it's like, you have essentially two different towns, right? It's like night and day if you go into Takazu versus staying here in Tamrat, right? So what, you know, if people come here and they're looking for a certain type of
experience? What can they expect in Takazu? What can they expect in Tamra?
Huh. I mean, in those both towns, you can pretty much maybe have the same. But Takazu made Tamarat famous, you know, because Takazu is the famous town, you know, like you have Anchor Point, you have Kilo Point, you have all those famous stuff, but that was, that made the area famous. And Tamarat is a bit bigger and there's more local people living. Takazu is more like a holiday rental town. Right. I don't know. Yeah. And Tamarat, you more.
It's still like a, it still feels like a local village.
Yeah.
Whereas Tamarat feels like a, could be anywhere in Europe, actually. You know, like there's, it's like a melting point of people.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess you can, like, you're in a, you'll be in a, like, in a surf camp or in a lodge or in a guest house, I don't know. But you'll be between, you know, it's all buildings everywhere.
Yeah.
So you'll be within the village, within the locals. You know, they're all used to tourism and tourists and... they all say hello because they're really, really nice and super friendly. What to expect? Good waves, good weather, sun shining.
In my face. I left my sunglasses somewhere.
Good food.
Yeah, food is amazing. Wow. Food is great.
Good food and, yeah, and good people and good fun. Usually people stay 1 week and it's 1 week where they just come and they don't have anything to do. Everything is prepared for them. You know, you like, you'll come, like someone picks you up from the airport. You'll come, someone will tell you what dinner's at 8:30 and tomorrow you leave for surfing at 9. At 12, you have your packed lunch. And if you're a vegetarian or blah, 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 let us know. Everything will be ready. You have nothing to think
about. To worry about, yeah. So it's like a place where you can like literally like shut off.
Yeah.
You know, for a while and
exactly.
Just be a guest because it is a very hospitable place.
Yeah.
Like people are very welcoming, very hospitable, and yeah, you can feel that, you know? And it's genuine as well. Like it's not
exactly
kind of put on, right?
Oh,
like it's very genuine. Like people want to host you, you know, they want to show you what's here. And that's a very, very cool kind of part of,
exactly.
of the experience,
wanna,
you know?
You know, share. They always like share a meal. They're like, "Oh, you did like come to eat with us. Oh,
yeah.
Come to my place." Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, the word is genuine. Like they're nice people.
Thank you,
Sunny.
Very formal. No, that was great. And yeah, if you want to stay in Tamra,
Surf and Friends Lodge.
Exactly. You find her, well, the lodge, I should say.
And then ask for Charlotte.
Ask for Charlotte. Just walk in, scream the name, Charlotte, and she'll appear. Because it's like that. She's always here. She's always here. Basically, you live here.
Well,
that's what you signed up for.
Nah, but I'm here.
Nah, but yes. Yeah.
But I'm happy to do it, so.
Yeah.
It's a good... good adventure, and I like to talk to people.
Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you too for listening to me.